Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to gather them back up. We will return to the book of Numbers, to the 13th chapter. As we began our service this morning, we read from those beautiful words, the first couple of verses, and then picking up in verse 25 down to the end of the chapter. And there, as we read, we found the children of Israel planning and preparing for the conquest of the promised land. You might say Moses was in a kind of wait and investigate position. As I read those verses over again, I find three questions that come to mind about our work for the Lord. And I think particularly today, as we begin anew, since Mike and Glenda have returned to their home, and we will miss their leadership. But I want us together today to just ponder these thoughts and seek this morning as an opportunity to ask ourselves whether or not we're doing all we can do to serve the Lord. And the first question that I find as I read Numbers chapter 13 is this: why do great men buckle under a challenge? We missed a bunch of verses 3 on down through verse 24, and you might want to read them in your home study. It is the selection of the 12 spies and how they were chosen. It was not a haphazard kind of thing. Moses was merely repeating the words of the Lord when he commanded that every tribe select a leader from among that tribe to represent them. And so the list that you find in verses 3 through 16 in particular were no doubt the best of the best. They were the heads of the children of Israel, you might say. And I'm sure it would have been a great honor to have been selected to represent your whole tribe in this spy expedition. Therefore, I assume honorable men were selected, chosen for the task. And so they went into the mountains, across the river, to get a glimpse of the promised land. As you look down in verses 17 through 20, you hear Moses saying something like this, and I'm surely paraphrasing. You guys go out and check the land. Peek into the walls. See what the cities are like. Check out the people. Bring back something for, what did we say in school? Show and tell. So the congregation will know that the land indeed flows with milk and honey. And that's exactly what they did. Look down in verse 25. It says, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. 40 days, a long time. And surely they peeked under every bush and checked on everything. And they returned, and each one, all 12, attested to the fact that indeed the land flowed with milk and honey, just exactly like God had promised that it would. And they even had the proof. If you read carefully some of those verses we didn't read, it says two men came in with a pole between their shoulders and there was one single cluster of grape that drug the ground. I picked grapes. They're usually that long, maybe that long, but they're not this long. And they brought pomegranates and figs to show the abundance that land was exactly like God had promised it would be. And it was an abundant. It awaited them. But little word, isn't it? But we're not able to take possession of it. That was the consensus. The people are strong. They're all staying in cities that have great walls that surround them, all with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. All the rest of the mighty heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, each with one accord, gave a bad report of warring with those of the promised land. Look down at verse 32. They sum it up this way. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. Later described as giants. It's a land of giants. And we are not able. Wow. As I read and pondered that, I couldn't help but ask, why do great men buckle under a challenge? Is it fear? Is it because the task at hand just seems to be harder than what they hoped it would be or estimated? Is it because it looks like a lot of work? Someone very appropriately made this discovery. Simple, but true. Three kinds of people in the world. The wills, the won'ts, and the can'ts. The first accomplish everything. The second oppose everything. And the third fail in everything. I read that and I said, what kind of person am I? I ask you, which person are you? I stand here this morning looking at the work of the kingdom outside these doors that needs to take place not around the world, but in this community in San Antonio. Do you know that the metropolitan area of San Antonio makes it the 7th largest city in the United States? It is the 2nd largest in this great state of Texas. It now has a metropolitan area that comprises approximately 2.3 million people. It is the fastest growing city among the top 10 cities in the United States. People under the age of 18 comprise 26.1% of our population. A lot of the young people. People that are 65 years or older only comprise 10.4% of our population. 63.2% of our population is Hispanic or Latino. Yet 24.2% of the people over the age of 25 have a bachelor's degree. Yet 20.1% of the people in San Antonio live in poverty. What a vast and diverse population. And surrounding us in all of this community, there are only about 10 independent Christian churches. Collectively, on a Sunday morning like today, we will gather about 1,000 people. The average attendance in our independent Christian churches is about 37 people. I think I counted a little over 30 in here, plus the ones in the kids. Yet the Christian church has a unique message to deliver. And it is the need to return to and to restore the New Testament church pattern just as it existed in its original state, in what we teach and what we practice. Get your bulletins out. Take a look on the back. Facts about BRCC, Babcock Road Christian Church. This church is different. It's different in what we believe. It's different in what we practice. It's different in what we teach. And that message needs to reach this town. And that's the reason for the large church, here, anywhere. That's the reason for this congregation. If you still have your Bibles in your lap, turn over to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Look at a couple of verses with me, 19 and 20. Again, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." Go into all the nations. We don't even go outside these doors. We can't even find those who are willing and those who are able to teach those inside these doors. We look at the immense amount of work in the Lord's kingdom and we see the sweat that's required and the commitment that's necessary. And we just collectively decline to accept the challenge. We see the Lord's work as a tall mountain, like in the promised land, higher than we can possibly climb, full of people that are tall and challenging. Many of us aren't even willing to join the church, much less join the work. And for many of us who do join Christ and who do go down into the watery grave of baptism, we come up out of it and we wipe the water from our eyes and we look around at the work that the Lord expects of us and we just close our eyes and sink back down. We're content to do the very minimum, as we see it. We're content to let somebody else pull the plow or carry the load or do the hard work or to lead, and you know the words we could use. We're content to eat the fruit that somebody else produces. We're not really willing to pitch in. I'm not the judge because I'm as guilty as all the rest of us. But I can't help but wonder that someday we will all have to stand up before our Lord who can see and understand people's talents and abilities and what they really are. And I can't help but wonder as we stand there before the judgment seat someday, will the Lord look down and write an epitaph over us? Oh, she's someone who did what they couldn't. Or he or she didn't do what they could. Second question this morning as I read these beautiful words in Numbers 13. And that is, what is worth fighting for? There are some causes that we do need to fight for. Caleb and Joshua stood there against the whole congregation, not just those 10 other spies, and said they were committed to the fight to go possess the promised land. And why not? God had given them that land. He had taken them out of bondage in Egypt and he had carried them across the wilderness for that very purpose. Those that inhabited the land were godless people, and God chose this form of judgment upon them. And Caleb and Joshua alone stood willing to fight for God. And I asked myself, am I willing to fight for God? Are you willing to fight for God? Oh, with one apart, we'll all say, sure, I am. Yeah, of course. What do you expect me to say? Man, we go out and we fight for jobs. We go out and we fight for possessions. We fight for our free time. We fight for our recreation opportunities. But do we seldom fight for the right to serve God? Think about that this morning. We fight, friends, for the wrong reasons, the wrong causes. We're quick to jump in for everything except for Christ and his church. One fight we're willing to turn our back to and walk away from. And I say this morning, we must be willing to fight the good fight. We must be willing to be good soldiers, strong in the Lord and the power of the might. Turn with me over to the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Let me just refresh your memories of what we're up against. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We fight against Satan. And I can tell you that Satan is busy destroying God's influence in this country. He's walking around, as it says over in 1 Peter 5:8, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see the influence, or lack of it, now in our government. You see God's influence gone in our schools, in our communities, even in our homes. It is estimated that there will be 10,000 churches of all faiths that will close their doors this year. Polls go out and ask people, do you attend church regularly? Polls show 40% people say they do. A little closer research says we lie. The number is closer to 20%, if it's that. That means that 80% of the people in this country aren't hearing messages like this morning in churches because they don't go to church anymore. Between the year 2010 and 2012, one half of all the churches of any faith in the United States did not add one single member to their rolls. Each year, almost 3 million former churchgoers quit going to church. My friends, if there is a cause worth fighting for, it is the preservation of the church. It is the spreading of this word. It is the restoration of God's influence in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, in our schools, in our government, in our country. Final question that I find. Do we have a little vision? Look back with me at Numbers 13:33. This is what the 10 spies said to the congregation that gathered the children of Israel. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from giants, it says here. And we were like grasshoppers in our own midst. And so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers. We read this morning our last verse. It was the first verse of chapter 14 of Numbers. Look down at that. It says that after the congregation heard this word from these 10 spies, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept that night. Why? Because they saw themselves as only grasshoppers. They had a wee little vision. We're the wee little people. They didn't even see themselves as the wee little people of God. Oh, their memories are so short. Here was a God who just shortly before lifted from bondage in Egypt, from the control of the most powerful government and army in the world under Pharaoh, and put them, separated the Red Sea, put them on a journey, fed them with manna, provided water for them, took them to the mountain of God, and God himself gave down 10 commandments for them to live. How could they not see God in their lives? And they looked at themselves only as wee little grasshoppers. So they wept in their wee little vision. The children of Israel rejected the pleas of Caleb and Joshua, that they could go and take the gift that God had provided for them. And that rejection kindled God's wrath, and God turned them back into the wilderness and had them walk and wander it for 40 more years till all of those that were 20 years and older died on the pathway. Only the little teenagers and under were ever going to see the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua, who knew they could take possession of it. I fear we're the same. We stand here today and we look at ourselves as a bunch of little people in a big world. What can I do? What can we do? We're so small, incapable, weak, frail. We're only grasshoppers. You all remember Helen Keller. She wrote these words. They took away what should have been my eyes, but I remembered Milton's paradise. They took away what should have been my ears. Beethoven came and wiped away my tears. Took away what should have been my tongue, but I had talked with God when I was young. He would not let them take away my soul. Possessing that, I still possess the whole. I'm so glad that Helen Keller didn't convince herself that because of her limited abilities that she couldn't do great things. I'm glad that Thomas Edison, because he couldn't hear very well, didn't invent the phonograph. I'm glad that Abraham Lincoln didn't convince himself that because he was raised in poverty that he could never amount to anything. I'm glad the apostles, just because their number was few, didn't convince themselves that they couldn't have an impact on the world for Christ. Friends, it's so human nature and it's so much like me, it's like you, that we look at ourselves and immediately we begin to convince ourselves that we can't build this church. We can't win souls for Christ because the task is too big, because we are too small, and we begin to say with one accord, "Oh, I'm too young. I'm too old. Well, I'm too sick and I am this morning. Oh, I'm too tired, or I'm too dumb, or I'm too inexperienced, or I'm too frail." Oh, the power of self-defeat. What happened to your memories? Look back in your life. Can't you see the movement of God? Can't you see all those forks in the road, all those decisions that you made? And where God, though you look back now, it all makes sense. Then perhaps it didn't, that he was in your life as he is today, moving miraculously to get you where you are so that you can serve him better. My friends, with God, all things are possible. We just have to make the decision to serve him, to be used by him. The Lord needs us, you. His church needs you. This congregation of his church needs you. Oh yeah, look outside the doors. The field is white, the harvest is ready, the laborers are few. That's what the scripture says. But you won't be a servant of God. You won't be a servant of Christ unless you accept Christ, unless you accept God. So he calls each of us the same way he called them in the New Testament. Come to me, he said. Through faith, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Through repentance of your sin, will you acknowledge the fact you need a Savior? That's why we came to the table. Will you change the direction of your heart so that the direction of your life will change and you'll quit doing what you know is wrong, according to God's word? Are you willing to confess that faith? Yeah, come down the aisle when we sing the song. Not only turn to us, but turn to Christ, turn to God and say, yes, I accept you. Will you be immersed for the remission of your sins? That's what he asked. There's a fifth thing. Then we rise up and live the life. And it's not just a life of I'm sitting in the pew, what's this church offer for me? It's a life of I am in Christ, what can I do for you and your church? Jeff's going to lead us in the song of invitation, and I invite you to join the church by joining Christ. Join the work by joining Christ. For this community, this world needs our influence. We need to be his spokesperson before it is silenced completely. Come if you will as we stand and sing.